This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
15 years old probably when I bought that jersey. That was his first year
with
the Celtics. But I had a collection of all those jerseys. I still have them. I'll take a picture.
You really do?
They're all in my office closet right now. Some I'm going to sell, but most of those I'm going
to
keep.
The Kemp one I meant to ask you, is it Sonics or Cavaliers
Sonics.
Powder blue? Okay,
Sonics
good. That's the best one.
Yeah, I have a
home
bunch.
Or probably, away?
Away. Most
green
of those
and
are away.
Gold.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The green and gold.
Yep.
So they're cool jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I used to wear them to school. So it wasn't like, 5 days of school, I'd be wearing the jerseys. I would go get a different jersey and wear it to school. That was like the thing. So that was kind of the point behind it. But who would think 30 years later that me making a jersey purchase back then from one of my favorite players, Dominique,
would get you in such hot water?
Well, I was thinking like, oh, this is great. 3 years ago, I happened to have this in reserve.
Uh-huh.
Let me pull out my Celtics jersey to troll Evan and Nets fans, and now Evan's trying to push it back on me. But I feel very comfortable with my explanation for either that jersey or that tweet and having the picture.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm worried about other people. I got you. Now, let's maybe preemptively address something else here, since the Knicks will win the series and move on to round two.
Ooh.
Do you have a Ron Harper jersey that we need to be worried about if they play the Cavs?
I do not own a Cavs jersey.
Do you have a Reggie Miller jersey? You better not have. Do you have a Reggie Miller jersey? I can't be partners with you.
I do not
anymore.
Have a Reggie Miller jersey.
Okay.
I don't have a Pacers jersey.
Okay.
Now,
you sure
again,
you're not Pacers?
No Pacers, no Heat.
No Bulls?
I will admit to this. I did have a Scottie Pippen.
How old were you? What years? Not when they were playing each other.
I did have it, and then I sold it. I don't know why. What possessed me to buy it? I was just trying
to
collect one of
everything. What?
I know. It was weird.
You had to get him who dunked on Ewing and like stand over him.
Yeah, I know. But I sold it. I sold it. I had it and then sold it.
That's suspect.
That one's suspect. I admit. I know.
You got to own that one.
You're not going to find a picture with that.
That's like me having a Nomar jersey.
I don't think you're going to find a picture with that one. There might be one.
Or a Pedro jersey, Mo Vaughn jersey.
Was a bad one. I know, that was a bad one. I admit, that was a bad one.
Anything else in there?
I remember. No, I think that's the worst one. But again, it was gone. I sold it pretty much soon after I bought it. I don't know what possessed me to buy it. Maybe I was just thinking, oh, it's cool.
Do you have a Durant Thunder jersey in case we play them in the finals?
No, I was out by then.
Okay.
Then I was out.
Okay.
If anything with Durant, it would have been a Sonics jersey. Who else is left? I'm trying to think of what.
Well, Denver, do you have maybe an old Alex English jersey or Kiki or Fat Lever
or
Robert Carmelo?
No, no.
Do you have
nuggets.
A Carmelo Denver one?
No.
All right, just checking.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We didn't bring up Mother's Day before. Alan is in New Hyde Park, wants to talk about Mother's Day. What's up, Alan?
Hey, Al.
How you doing, guys? How
are
you as well? Yeah, Sal, first and foremost, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
It's a difficult time. At least the sports has a way of, taking things in different perspective. I got a couple of things we don't talk too often. On the short side, I'll be going to the Soto games. I'm a Yankee fan, as you may know. So I'll be there next weekend. And I'm looking forward to that event to see how it all shakes out, as we've all been talking about. On the Knicks, I'm going watching the game since 1960, so I have a long tenure with these guys and my other teams. I'm shocked. As I've been hearing on the radio, like you, Sal, I almost turned off game one and game two, but I kept on it. I kept on it being a fan, so I was like stunned by what I saw Boston do I thought they would be a little cold in game one because of the layoff potentially. I don't know if I was right or wrong. And the Knicks came off that energy from Detroit, and I thought they might be able to steal that game. And the way they did, they down the stretch in both games, Boston, you know, kind of fell away, and Knicks kind of put it up. So I'm excited about that. As far as tomorrow goes, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'll be there at 3:30. I have no idea which way this game is going to go. I have no feel for how the Knicks are going to play or how the Celtics are going to play. In my opinion, the Knicks, to me, right now, this team, this group, they're in uncharted territory against this Boston team. And I think Boston is in the same reflection back to the Knicks team. So it's going to be very interesting to see how both teams generate their game tomorrow. And the Garden crowd, listen, you know, yet to me, sports has changed a lot. The road teams, if you watch many of these games, the road team has a somewhat, I wouldn't say an advantage, but they seem to play more disciplined, I think, without the crowd driving them insane. So that factor, we'll see how it plays out tomorrow.
All right, Al.
But this is going to be exciting.
And there you go, Alan. Thanks, Al. You for the call. I thought he wanted to talk about Mother's Day. Hoff, you said he wanted to talk about Mother's Day on the board.
He did.
And he talked about like nine different things.
Hey, he was sitting there for an hour. Maybe he forgot.
Yeah.
He's ready for Father's Day already.
I felt bad. I was like, oh, we got to get him in here. But yeah, I mean, all those things on the Knicks is fair. Nope. I don't know about the... You think there's too much pressure that fans put on the athletes?
Talking about the Knicks specific or in general?
No, in general. Because it's come up when we talk about booing, whether it's Devin Williams, whether it's Juan Soto, whatever.
I don't think so. I think it's easier than it used to be. Softer. There's more tolerance for people finding themselves. There's less vitriol when you do poorly. I think it's easier. How do you think Dave Winfield felt in the World Series?
No, I mean, 81? I still think that booing is a thing and fans don't have great patience, but I do think it's changing. I think the thing that's changed the most is the athletes take it differently and respond to it differently, where back then maybe they were more either trained for it, accustomed to it, fought it harder than they do, where now it's like instead of fighting back and proving yourself, it's like they cower a little bit and go the other way.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, actually. Some will fire back on social media. Think about this. Back in the day, you know, Reggie has a rough game. Reggie gets into a fight with Billy in the dugout, anything with Reggie. But I'm just using Reggie because that's a long time ago. Reggie has a rough moment. You know, they all write about it. Dick Young, whoever else is writing at that point. And then Reggie could at least go about his life. And, all right, it's in the newspaper. And, all right, a lot of people read the paper, especially then. But he can still navigate 20 hours of his day or 16 hours without being bombarded on social media.
Yeah, social media has just changed the game.
It has. So I think that the booing or the intensity and, like, the just the lack of compassion has gone... It's more on social media the wrong way, and I think in the actual stadium, it's changed and it's gotten softer. It's a very different dynamic.
Good point. Kenny is calling from Franklin Square. What's up, Kenny?
Kenny.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say one thing. Listen, I spent a lot of time in Massachusetts as a New Yorker in Massachusetts, and I took a lot of heat the past 10 years, and I want to say the absolute audacity of the Celtics fans, the absolute audacity of the organization, thinking that the Knicks were going to come in there and they were going to be able to play almost, they look like they're playing horse out there, the Celtics. They're taking a million threes. It's a joke. It's a joke. One play, I saw the Celtics take three.
I think we lost you there, Kenny.
There.
I love that horse line. That was great. I do think the Celtics, certainly the fans, but and still, even being down 0-2, I think fans and media members, you heard the stuff from one of the Boston radio hosts there calling the Knicks trash and garbage. I don't think they take the Knicks seriously. I think the Celtics as a team also did not take the Knicks too seriously, BT, through the first two games. They better now.
Oh, God. I mean, it's just a guess. It's a feel. I think a lot of the people up there doing what we do, I think they gloss over the Knicks. Knicks, please. Knicks haven't won since Clyde Frazier. You get a lot of that. Much like we were saying about the Red Sox. They haven't won since Babe Ruth. I do think that that's, you know, permeated their world. And until we shove it down their throat and change history, you're like Johnny Damon and Big Poppy and Pedro and Manny did, they're going to hang it over our heads. And that's fine. They're not going to really take us as seriously as they need to. But that's okay. Because there's a chance now to change history. And it's daunting when it's like, oh, hey, start of a new season, 6-7 months from now, we can rewrite it, we can change the narrative. The Knicks have to win twice more in this series to change Bostonians' opinion forever.
Yeah.
Now, you got to back it up eventually with a championship, but you knock Boston out of the playoffs, now you earn respect. They're not going to give it to us, and quite frankly, they shouldn't. The Knicks have to earn it. Knicks haven't done a damn thing since I was born.
Two more wins, and Boston is the afterthought. Then we have our sights set on bigger things. Scott is in East Hanover, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Sal, I wanted to talk to you. Yes. Let your partner listen. I tuned in real quick this morning, and you're giving stats about, the Knicks did this to come back in with. The Knicks did this, and then they won. They achieved the W. They did this. They did that. And I was like, you were like a wet blanket. You're like Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live. You're like the guy I send it to the Franklin Mint. Take all the money you want. You complain the money's dirty. Dude, you're in New York. You're on the best station ever. Let's have a little optimism. I know you love the Knicks. I get it. But them stats this morning, they had to come back, and
Well, I don't know if it was stats. You said stats. I would say facts.
Stats are facts. I get it.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm just saying they were up 2-0.
Okay, but Scott, when did I not say that they were up 2-0? I think your interpretation of what I'm saying is negative. I have not been negative.
My dear friend, on this Friday before Mother's Day, you've done this before in the past. I'm just telling you, come across a little bit more positive. That's all. I love you guys. That's all I want to say. Come a little bit more positive. That's all.
Scott, and thank you for the call. I don't even know how to respond to that with the proper tone, because I think you're completely wrong. You're completely, you hear certain things, or your perception of my reality and what we've said on this show's reality is wrong. If anything, of the two of us this particular year, I have been more positive about the Knicks. And it's not because I'm trying to be positive and be sensitive to you who are soft and you can't take some criticism. It's because I believed in this talent and I wanted to see how it would play out. Now, within that, BT, and when we had the opposite last year where
with the Sixers.
Correct.
No doubt. Yes,
and it was perceived as I was negative because I just didn't believe in that group, especially the way that they played early in the series. Now, they proved me wrong, obviously, But then they failed in Series 2, and we know because they were banged up. But I just didn't believe in that team's talent. I think they maxed out, which is why you give them credit. This year is different. We've had kind of a role reversal where you were unsure of how this team was going to gel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that being negative? Or was that being...
There was 7 months of consistency. Okay. Might be proven wrong, but I don't. I never thought that was negative. I really thought that it fit who they are.
Correct.
Or who they were.
It was your opinion of what this team was. It's not being negative. So now, in this particular case, Scott is saying that I'm being too negative because I'm pointing out the facts that the Knicks were down 20 in game one and took a miracle to come back. And they did the same thing, being down 16 in the fourth quarter to come back in game two. Now, those are facts. That's not me being negative. Those are facts. I do not believe it's sustainable. But I've also said many times over, they're up 2-0. They're two wins away from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So there is no negative to be found in that. Go finish the job now and win these home games.
Am I missing something? Like when the Yankees had a big win back in the day, did Mad Dog get on the air and celebrate?
Oh, my
God. Am I missing something? Like, I get it, guys. We say things and you don't always agree with us. And Sal says things I don't agree with. I say things he doesn't agree with. That's the way of the world, man. Listen, I actually think that you have been more optimistic about these Knicks than I have this year. I don't want to say that it's like an unfixed. I think he likes us. I think he likes you.
I don't think
he was trying to be a jerk.
No, but
it's not our job to get on the air and wave pom-poms. I prefer to win. You prefer to win. We all want championships, but I mean, two games in a row, they're down by 20 points on the road.
Right. Scott, here's what
And the previous series, too.
And you're right. It's not him being like a negative.
No. I think he's a good dude who likes us.
And we appreciate it.
And likes you.
But it is frustrating at times to have people perceive things as negative where, okay, so what do you want? Fanboy radio? And then what? Then what happens when the Knicks, if they don't win the championship? Then what? Hey, it's okay. We'll get it next year. Yeah. Or what happens for the last 20 years? Like, if you can't. And as a sports fan, I've always been critical of the teams that's just innate.
I think I'm probably sometimes too critical.
Okay.
I think when you really care about something, you tend to, sometimes, not all the time, Sal, it's an interesting psychological dance, whether it's sports or other facets of life. It's almost easier to, when you really care about something, go to the negative more so than the positive because you want to fix the negative because ultimately you want to see it become a positive.
You want to lead it to a positive.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me, like the same people, the Met fans that in like, let's say 2012, were like, oh, I believe in this Mets team. And I'm like, this team is absolute garbage. Like, this is a disgrace what they're putting out here in comparison. And I'm the negative one. But now when they actually put out a real team, the same people that thought they had a real team in 2012 or 13, what are they saying now? Like, their word can't be taken seriously because they weren't critical in 2012, so now we're supposed to... You know, you always think that they're positive. Even when they suck, you thought they were good.
Like Positive Tommy.
Whoever. Yeah, exactly. But whatever the point, like, to me, you got to be fair, you got to be honest, otherwise, why would anybody take anything seriously?
I'm with you.
Being critical of it. Now, it's not that big of a deal, but just to clear that up a little bit, let's get one more in here. Brian is calling from Paramus, New Jersey. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys, love you. Listen every day, but I do got to pick a little fight. As a fellow Net fan like Evan, the only other one in the area, I can't wait till Mikal Bridges pulls the Charles Smith or John Starks of this era. I think you guys are going to choke this away, and Evan's going to be intolerable. But I say that because as growing up a Net fan, MSG fans, no one more arrogant, but you guys have done nothing in so many years, and it cracks me up at how arrogant the fan base is because you have so many. That's the only thing you got, and it cracks me up.
Mm. Interesting.
Thank you for the call, Brian. Look, I respect your Nets fandom, and I understand the hating. The Nets, here's the only thing that I could say about the Nets.
They don't even matter. Like, I don't take shot. The Net fans who are fans are great fans.
Right.
They're 5% of the basketball fans. I'm not trying to dump on them.
I was going
to
say, like, they don't even... I agree with you. I never really hated the Nets.
No.
Other than when everybody was saying... I think the only time to hate the Nets in my lifetime in fandom was when KD, Kyrie, and Harden came, and everybody was talking about the big three, and they chose the Nets over the Knicks.
Yeah.
Which led
that was
to
a
me,
little different.
Yeah, which led to me posting that picture of the Celtics jersey trolling them when they were out,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it would fail. And now look what's happened. Now,
order's been restored in the universe here.
That's exactly right. Like, come on, the Nets had their multiple windows that they were supposed to take over, whether it was Paul Pierce and Garnett or KD and Kyrie.
Remember the thing, the mural right by MSG, the blueprint, Jay-Z's blueprint, and the Nets, like when he had the 1% ownership of the Nets, and they put it right across from the Garden, like driving down, I guess that's 8th Avenue? Yeah, 8th, driving up 8th. And they there was a little point where I'm like, oh, the Nets... I gotta worry about these guys. I remember when I first saw their court, I'm like, ooh, they got the color scheme good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the unis. Unis are pretty tight. All right, they're doing some good things out there with the Barclays. But, no, I just, like, the Nets, the Yankee Met, that's one thing. Jet Giants, Knicks-Nets, it's just not even a thing at all.
And
it's just not. It's like St. John's and Fordham. It was St. John's and Wagner. It just doesn't make any sense.
I actually agree with the caller that, oh, Knicks fans, we talked about this yesterday, where Knicks fans of any fan base in this town kind of overrates what they've done, you know, going nuts after one round or one game in the first round of the postseason, especially the younger Knicks fan who didn't necessarily live through the 90s and get a chance to enjoy that. So they do overinflate what the Knicks have accomplished. However, the Knicks are in the midst of accomplishing something here, and they're in a nice little window where they've given us a run, and I still got work to do, but it is understandable, and it's unique for me as a fan to be on the side of being rooting for a team that's being hated, whether it's Boston, Philadelphia, the Net fans. Usually the teams that I root for, you know, they don't have success.
It's so fairly a benign reaction.
You're a Yankee fan, too, could relate to having...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm not. So I can't. I don't know that feeling. The Mets aren't hated the way that the Yankees are, but I like it with the Knicks.
It's a different hat for
just
you.
Just back it up. Yeah, but just go out there and back it up now and let us. Just let us do the trash talking after they do the talking on the court. That would be sweet.
The only thing that I disagree with a little bit, the way you characterize that, like the whole bing bong, like that stuff was stupid. Yeah. Like, all right, I get you having fun. All right.
It was always stupid.
Yeah. I don't think that Knicks fans, even the young ones, I think you used the word overrate and overinflate. Two words, right? I don't think they're necessarily doing that. I just think they're busting at the seams with enthusiasm and energy for what they might do. Unless I'm missing, not that I'm, you know, in the midst of what 20-year-olds are thinking and saying anymore, but I don't think the younger Knicks fan is walking around like with this championship aura. I just think they are hungry because they didn't even have the 90s like we did. I think they're starving. I think they're great fans. I think they're all in. And I think sometimes they take the celebration a little bit too far, but I don't think that they overinflate who the Knicks. And if they do, then they're completely wrong because they haven't done a damn thing.
Great way to put it.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I know the Giants' schedule, no matter who they play and where, is hellacious. The Jets is a little bit easier, but that's always fun. Listen, the way they did it on draft night, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
I did.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking about corny.
I heard you. I don't know if I was off.
Oh, yeah, you were out. That's right. You were out.
I did catch you ripping that.
Just poorly orchestrated. It was just weak. I don't even know what the objective here is. I actually thought that they were going to tell us a couple of games there because the way they hyped it, they were going to change things up and that night tell us a few. But whatever. The point is, I do enjoy when I find out, who do we open with, how many primetime games, and you know how many primetime games I want this year? One, which is the required amount for every NFL team. I want, give me the 1 o'clock, give me up against the Giants, I'll deal it with the juggle. Don't put me Sunday night, don't put me Thursday night, don't put me Monday night. Let me just find an identity while nobody's really watching. Can we do that for once?
Build it quietly. Yeah, yes. But that's not fun.
I
like some of the primetime games.
I'm not looking
games.
For fun, I'm looking for productivity, man. Last couple of years were not fun.
Next week, we are guaranteed to have a Game 3 to react to from tomorrow. A Game 4 to look ahead to and react to.
Mm-hmm. Another day to start booking Eastern Conference Final watching periods.
We are potentially in line for a Game 5 or Game 6, although at this point we don't want that. We want the Knicks to win it in 4. Dude. We are guaranteed to have the NFL schedule release, and we are guaranteed to have the Subway Series Juan Soto return to look forward to.
You left out one more guarantee. Mets are losing 2 out of 3.
Hey, you know what?
Don't sell it short, dude. You gotta come on. I thought you had a longer list than that.
No, we really didn't put anything on the line for our over unders this year. We could revisit.
Well, we did. I just didn't have you pay off the bet because it didn't work out the way
year.
We thought.
Yeah,
remember you had a dress. You know,
it's another one favorite. Didn't work out.
No, you know what I'm saying, though. So
no, I know.
We can do double or nothing. That's funny. We could do a couple of different things here, but I got no problem putting a little wage on the Yankee Mets Subway Series round one.
Yeah, and maybe even down. Individual performance. I really feel like
something to rails. I'll do something.
Yeah, we got to put something on.
We have to put something. I want to.
BT and Sal on the fan. Mark and Syosset. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, guys. First out, condolences to you and your family.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
And that said, talking about the Knicks for a second, you don't ever be a fanboy. You're right. It's good to have a realistic perspective of our team. They're up two games to none, but they were down 20 points in both games. And having guarded optimism is perfect. You're doing exactly what you need to do. Don't be swayed by anybody waving the pom-pom.
Yeah.
Because that's not right.
And I like hearing from you. I appreciate that. I'm not going to change. We're not going to sway from what we do. This is what we do. There's a reason why we're here. We got here. But I appreciate hearing from fans like you because I know that they're out there. They exist. But a lot of times it feels like we hear from the other side of it where there's such fanboys out there. It's nauseating. It's okay to criticize your team. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
I'm going to say real quick, Mark.
No, you're right.
Mark, what more? To add to that, the minority is generally more vocal with that.
Yeah, I know. Right?
So they're going to shout and scream and get a little traction on social media.
Well,
most people want objectivity.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let me speak for the majority. Keep the objectivity because it's a good listen and it's a fair perspective. And you point out the flaws of our team, which we need to know. People want to see it and they want to hear about it and they want to talk about it.
There you go.
So, I'm excited about the team. Really am. It's great for the city. Love to see them win four straight. Do I expect it? No. Would I love it? Yes. But just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate the words of encouragement. Very much so. It's nice.
Words
nice
of
hear.
Encouragement.
Well, I mean, keep doing. We don't want to say we don't need the advice.
No.
I appreciate that.
I think there's a lot of Marks out there that want the real because they know what's up.
I mean, that's what we do in New York. That's what to me is so. Because honestly, dude, I never had an issue on the overnight with this stuff. Like it was fine. Mm. Midday, I know it's a different audience, larger audience, but I couldn't even believe some of the reaction toward criticism, even as recently as Juan Soto. Holy cow. I never once said Soto sucks or I'm concerned about Soto or worried about. I made it even clear to say I am not concerned or worried about him. And I'm saying that because people are so soft and they misunderstand things or misperceive things, whatever. But what? You can't criticize the guy who's been, it was awful for his first 20 games. Starting to get warmer now. Just in time for the Subway Series. But I mean, if you can't criticize these players or teams when they're not, performing at a high level. What are we supposed to do?
Listen, I'll tell you. So I did national radio for a while. Yeah. You know that, right? And one of the things that I missed the most about doing local was being able to pound on somebody. I don't mean unnecessarily without merit, but to me, like, that's the juice, man. That's when I would sit in my car. Remember, I told the story. One of the summers I was doing construction, right? And I would just sit in the car. I'd get the end of the schmooze and Russ, of course. And then I'd get Mike and Chris. I'm like, I know they're going to crush. Like, especially if I knew what happened the night, which I did. This guy's going to get lit up. This team's going to get crushed. I'm like, here we go.
It's therapeutic to hear them rip the team. Come on.
Yes.
And then you want to call in and vent yourself about it. We can't go too soft to a point. Now, I understand you got to be smart about things and you can't make it personal. You don't want to over-criticize teams when they don't deserve it or players. But there's always a place to be critical of it.
You got to be fair. You got to be fair.
Mitchell's in Fort Lee. Mitch, how are we looking today?
Hi, Sal. Hi, BT. First of all, Sal, again, sorry to hear about your loss. And I hope everyone's doing anyway soon. Okay. Hi, BT. How's everything?
Good. You cutting Sal's grass today or no?
What? What's going on there with the background noise? Come on.
Well, Sal, I'm on the highway, Sal. I'm working. I got customers in the car, but they wanted to hear me call in. Huh. So we're going to JFK. We're going to JFK now. So let's get to number one.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Go ahead. BT, so after the Knicks win by game five, we're going to hold you a ticket, so you got to come to the Yankee game next Friday.
Wow, okay? You got to really do that, huh?
Mitch, you're better than I would. I made him make a decision, either in or out. He said out. The
decision's kind of made
Although
already.
I know. I like putting BT on the hot seat. No, if there is no, this will put your true test if it really you're just looking for an out and the Knicks can get out or not.
Yeah, I guess.
That's right.
You put him up to this.
I did not.
You didn't?
I did not put him up to this. No, I would have
moved him up. He did not. And listen, truthfully, everyone keeps calling me. Everybody wants to buy my tickets for the game, but I'm staying with you guys. We made a commitment to go to the game, so I'm keeping my commitment. We still got to find someone for game for the last seat. But I thought about this. If BT doesn't go because there is a game six, Sal, why don't we do this? Why don't we raffle off the ticket, and we donate the money to Cancer Society. And I just found out my girlfriend's brother-in-law just got married. He just found out he has Lou Gehrig's disease. Why don't we donate the money to those both charities and then let that person come to the game with us?
I don't know if we're legally, and thank you for the call, Mitch. We got a lot of background
noise
there.
It's a great sentiment, though.
Yes, it is. And we're sorry to hear that. Prayers to your family there. I don't think we're legally allowed to do that, but I love the thought process. Mitch is really a good guy.
He's a great guy.
By the way, he is a father. I don't know if I said that before. He does have a 21-year-old daughter.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so he's dating now.
She a Yankee fan or a Met fan?
I would assume Yankee fan.
Well, we'll take her.
Goes to Penn State.
He raised her well. Penn State, great school.
Yeah, but so it's not like he's just out there, you know, living. But he's still able to. He's like, I'm going down to Atlantic. You want to come? I'm like, dude.
Atlantic City? What, this weekend?
He's all doing.
This weekend? What's going to see?
He didn't ask about this weekend, but just in general. But that Met Yankee game, I like what he said there. Now, I did. I swear. I wish I did. I did not. I was texting him, hey, maybe we get Marash or Loogie involved.
That puts me in a rough spot.
And he was saying, I'll hold on to it for BT. He really wants you to go.
I thought I was off the hook.
And if there is no, in fact, game six, maybe the Knicks wrap it up in four, maybe they wrap it up in five, then you're back in. Mm. You're back in play. Friday night at the stadium, Soto's return. Come on, front row, right field.
I know.
See, you don't really want to go.
I do. I do.
I don't think you do.
I just don't think you do. No, I hear you. He's grabbing the mic.
Do you know where the seats are, by the way?
Front row, right field.
But like you saw the Aaron Judge home run on Monday when it was like monsoony outside.
And the guy swiped the ball.
Yeah, that's where the legitimately right where the seats are.
I know.
You'll catch a home run by Judge.
Not from a Met. The Mets don't hit those wall scrapers.
No, they don't.
If they hit them, they go.
I'm just
maybe a Volpe homer you get.
Well, he'll scrape the wall for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or Austin Wells.
Oh man.
Maybe Goldie goes opposite.
You could fight with Soto over a baseball. How about that? It's gonna go right to the wall. You two can go at it.
I want to go.
I'm gonna be yelling out to Soto. You don't want to miss that.
See, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go.
But I know. I
first thing is the Knicks, that's for sure. Yeah. Number one. Now, if they're not playing, which is a little curveball and anticipate coming my way today, I do factor in, I'm not going to lie to you, like the logistics are off
it's
the
a
chart.
Nightmare.
Pain in the ass.
Well, I told
dude.
You, even for me now, I got a dilemma.
But at least you're working and you're in the city.
I know, but getting up to
I'm off the air too, and now I'm home. I'm like, do I sit here for 4 hours? Do I go
know.
Home? Like, just.
But you actually could go home and then drive in, which is easier than
me.
I'm going to be in the city, do SNY. I got to take the train up to Yankee Stadium,
train
back from Yankee Stadium after the game, train then to Harrison, get my car.
But I don't want to drive. I want to have a couple pops.
Mitch will drive everybody, and he'll take us to Candlelight.
He did say that. Mitch did say. But now you're throwing
this
on another.
A saint.
I know.
He really is a saint.
I know. He's a big guy. I told you, help me move my couches downstairs.
Maybe we'll run into Brunson and Hart.
Oh, I forgot to ask him. Mitch, if you're listening, can you pick up 2 Mother's Day cards and some flowers and drop them off at my...
How about he just shaves his head and drives to Long Island and pretends he's you tomorrow?
Or just drives along. I'll drop him off at my mom's house so you don't have to worry about anything. I can FaceTime with my mom and have Mitch deliver her the gift while I'm back in Jersey.
By the way, any real resolution to this dilemma? I mean,
no,
we talked about this early.
After the show, I'll go sit in the office for 2 hours.
And plot this out.
Come up with some kind of plan.
Come on, Sal.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek. We're halfway to the title, boys. We won 6 games. We got to win 6 more.
Well,
the team in New York, I was really trying to think about a team that had title expectations that were similar to this team in the beginning of the season. And the team that I came up with was the 2024 Rangers. Now, the good thing for the Rangers is that the Rangers didn't have to play a team like Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals. Unfortunately, they didn't get through it. But at the end of the day, I think that's the best comparison. And I do want to tell you guys something right now that, Sal, you hit right on the head. I'm 37 years old. When I'm watching them, I feel like I'm 10 or 11 again.
Yeah.
These 20-point deficits turning into wins. Obviously, I said my dad passed away from cancer. But I remember the 4-point play. I remember Allen Houston with his head above the rim. In 99, we were the 8th seed. This team is making me feel like I'm a kid again, and that's what it's all about go it. New York, go New York,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, Brad. Oh, boy. Man, it gives me goosebumps. There you have it. Call of the day. BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019. Let's finish up BT on the phones here. We got the Knicks game 3 to look forward to tomorrow. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Frank is in Orange County. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, Frank.
Big fans, first time. Sal, my condolences to your family.
Thank you, Frank.
And BT, I have the perfect way to have to pay off your bet from last year.
Yes.
The baseball bet. Have them wear a Yankee Juan Soto jersey to the game.
Mm. Well, no way to the game. I mean, that's out.
Come on, Sal. You got to pay up.
So the jersey, but it was a bet as to, like, that should be on the table, buddy.
No, absolutely not.
Well, why not?
And thank you for the call, Frank. The bet was that I would have to dress in a full uniform as the player who you picked.
The Yankee of my choice.
Yeah, well,
I said I might make it be Babe Licata. Yeah, I might make it be Reg Sal Jackson.
I will do.
Maybe
I'll
be Sal Soto for the night.
Yeah, I will honor the bet. And if you want me to dress as a Yankee and dress as Juan Soto as a Yankee, not that I would want to do it, but I will do it. I am not doing it at the game. That's a whole nother level of sure. You'd have to kill
me. We need a ruling.
Me.
What do you think here?
I mean, the caller burp, great idea. I loved it.
I'm saying this. Yeah. You would have to kill me to get me to wear a Yankee jersey to Yankee Stadium during a Mets-Yankees game.
Oh, that's...
Like, there's a line that even I have. That is not, like, there's no... Wearing the Yankee uniform is bad enough.
I understand that. My only concern, and we might have to send this to a lawyer, is that there's no fine print when this deal was consummated.
I think we've actually reached the point of expiration on the payoff. I mean, it's already April. May, even.
There was no fine print that said, you know, if Soto happens to lead the Yankees and goes to the Mets, I cannot wear a Soto Yankee jersey to a Yankee Met game. Like, that's not in the contract there, buddy.
Correct, but a Yankee Met game was never in play.
It was never out of play.
It was
never addressed.
Really, it was either going to be in studio here or...
Or on remote. Remember we thought about that?
Or potentially opening day.
Yes.
Out at the Hard Rock.
Potentially. I would like Dove, who is generally a man of fairness here. I appreciate Hoff's support on that. I want to see if it's universal.
Just so we know, the bet was won in October. Mm-hmm. It is now May of the following year.
What was the expiration date?
There was none.
I mean, I feel like we've passed it.
Not in the contract.
Right. It fits in the description.
It does.
Not to a Subway Series game.
I
would have never agreed to that.
Is there a limitation of which games you could and which games you couldn't?
Yes. Well, it was never supposed to be about a game. It was just BT saying, oh, we could do it for our show. It's got to be for our show.
It was going to be opening day at the stadium.
How about this? If we were doing a show out there, then okay. Then that's a different story.
So wait. So if I could convince Hurley... Hey, screw the Knicks.
Good luck with that. If I can convince Ryan
for us to broadcast out there.
I'm still not doing it.
What do you mean you're not doing it? I can't forcibly put the jersey on you.
I'll wear the Yankee jersey and uniform. I'm not doing it to Yankee Stadium during a Met game. That sounds like a Welch to me. I wouldn't do that.
Somebody's squeezing out here, man. There's nothing that you established prior to that bet.
I never would have precluded what you are now precluding. That's a fact. A Met Yankee Subway Series is a whole separate element to a bet. That's a different bet.
Yeah, it is if it's addressed preemptively. If it's not, it's all part of the same bet.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this.
You didn't protect yourself.
You didn't get bet insurance. That's a you problem. Not me, buddy.
Let's get this straight. Yeah. You wore an Islanders jersey.
Yes.
You wore a Celtics jersey.
Yes.
You agreed if you lost the bet to wear a Yankees jersey.
Yes.
And you won't.
No. I will wear a Yankees jersey. Not to a Yankees-Mets Subway Series game. I have no problem wearing a Yankee jersey.
I mean, except when the deal calls for you to wear it.
Yeah, no. The deal doesn't call for me to wear it there.
But
End of story.
Here's what you're missing. You are right. You're half right. It doesn't call for you to wear it there. But where you're out is down the toilet is that it doesn't say... That it can't be there. Like, you're focusing on one aspect of the agreement.
If we're doing the show from there,
mm-hmm.
then I will have to strongly take it into consideration to pay off my debt. And I do not want to Welch out. I will pay off my debt.
You're not
Welch. I think now we're pushing it. I've been looking to pay this off for months. Mm-hmm. So it just so happens maybe to be pushed.
Maybe it's been my plan.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt that. Why?
You don't know.
No, but, all right. But let's say if you get us to do the show out there, then during the show from maybe that period from 10 to 2, Just maybe I will dress in the full uniform, whatever uniform you choose. Whatever player I have to be, I have to be. I will stand by this and say there is no chance in hell I will wear a Yankees jersey, not even a shirt or a hat, to a Yankees-Mets game. I don't care where the game's
being. You're not fulfilling the bargain, bud.
No.
That's Welchin.
I'll wear a Yankees jersey to a Yankee game.
By the way, I didn't
even want
to do this to you. Like, I didn't even want to think about doing this to you.
I did, though.
But the resistance is making me reconsider.
Well, he said we had to dress up as a player of the other person's choice, never as a player of the other person's choice at a game, specifically a Met Yankee game. But, like, that wasn't on the line.
No, it was.